Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here in Rutherford County on the south side of town. Willie Donick over on the east side representing East Nashville. Willie? Good stuff.
He's in, checking in.
Oh, there
all
we
is
go.
Well.
There we go. All right. A little bit of a delay. There we go. We got him. We got him.
Got
Chase
him.
McCabe on the west side in Bellevue holding things down at the trailer. What? Chase, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Ah, great, great. Good to hear from you. Mark East Munson there on 824 Murfreesboro Pike there at the Hosel Link Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Mark East, what's up?
What's up, fellas? I feel like Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince, man, where I'm just looking around an empty room, but it feels good. It feels good.
How many people are currently in the building?
You really want me to tell you? It's just two.
Well, I was going to say, the over-under is 2.5, so you said it's the under?
Mark East?
Yeah, it's two. Me and Dagwood.
And
wow.
And he's wearing sweats, and he gave me a good idea for tomorrow's outfit.
Wait a minute. You've actually worn legitimate clothes during all this? Because I can tell you, if I was still producing, I would be in my I'd be wearing exactly what I'm wearing right now, which is my basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Well, I mean, tomorrow.
Shoes optional.
I mean, Dagwood gave me a good idea. Tomorrow, maybe sweatpants and some Raider flip-flops, and I may be coming here looking tacky, like I'm going to Walmart, but whatever.
Yeah. I would.
Okay. Well, maybe a little bit too much information there, a little TMI, but okay. We will roll with it to start the show. Did anybody see or hear Dana White today on Get Up with Mike Greenberg?
I saw it, but I missed it because I had the volume down. They just showed it while I was doing the show with Ryan, so I have no idea what he said.
Okay. Willie has it piped in. I'm assuming that's a no, even though I know he's been paying attention to Get Up.
I did not see it.
He references it a lot, so I know he's been watching. It is interesting, and we're going to continue talking about this as we have been on the show. And I will tell you this, because you guys have heard me say this, and while I'm a skeptic on how you pull all this off, I also realize, because I've said it many times, that you can't keep doing this forever. I mean, you can't, not forever, but the remainder of the calendar year. Like, you can't shut down the country for the rest of 2020. We all need to be responsible, and we all need to do the right thing. But economically, we can't sink the country and put it at the bottom of the ocean, okay? We can't turn into the Titanic, all right? And so I do understand that everybody, including the sports entities and everybody else in the country, including us in radio and any other business that you're in, that you're going to have to figure out things. You're going to have to do things differently. So I do understand that we are going to have to get really creative, and maybe it is really creative, like some of the things we've been talking about. And Dana White is no different. They are doing UFC 249 this Saturday. It is going to be aired on ESPN. Now, Mike Greenberg pressed him, if you've been reading this story, nobody knows where it's going to be. And he continues
so
not
Dana
to tell
White.
Anybody.
So Dana White.
Of course it's Dana White. I've been dealing with Dana White for, I don't know, 15 years, and he hasn't changed a bit. Look, he's been at this. He's been running the UFC. By the way, if people don't know the story, they bought the UFC for $2 million. Now, if you want to know what a good investment is, if you want to have a class in college and you open up to Chapter 8 and it says, what is a good investment? That purchase right there is a good investment because it sold for billions. So they have figured it out. They revived mixed martial arts and the UFC brand.
Does he have a piece?
Oh, I know he's gosh, yes. Yes,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Definitely. Now, he is not the majority, but does he have a piece? Absolutely. He has made his dough. Dana has figured it out. Now, I don't always agree with Dana White. I never have. I've enjoyed my conversations with him over the years. I've had a lot. And, look, I don't exactly sign up for everything he does, but let me tell you one thing. He gets it done. And I don't know how this is going to turn out, and this is the same thing of what he's bringing it up, and maybe we can come up with that interview, a little bit of it, to play here on the show, but he's saying what I've been saying on the show for weeks. Like, we have to do the right thing, but we also we have to figure out how to still have business. We have to figure out how to still have sports. And he even said in the interview, he's like, look, if we go, you know, the next 6 months with no sports, he's like, everybody's going to go crazy if we just stay in our homes. And he's like, we've got to give the public something. He said, of course, we're going to do it the right way. So it has become the mystery, right, of where is it? And, of course, every time you ask him, he just says, it's at ESPN. That's where you're going to find the fight. It's on ESPN. So
is it on ESPN Plus? Is that,
yeah, it is.
So you got to pay for it?
Yep. Well, no, no, it's – he said in the interview, he said it's on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Is ESPN Plus charging right now? There's a lot of services that aren't even
charging.
Well,
basically, if it's a big pay-per-view fight, they're usually shown on ESPN Plus. But when they have the pre-fights, the little prelim fights that they show beforehand, those usually broadcast on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But we're in different times. I understand that. Like, you're never going to see the actual card on cable.
Well,
but
technically,
for WrestleMania.
Yeah, technically, WrestleMania charged for both nights, charge
$30. Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So that's why I assume that they're going to still charge for UFC.
So you guys paid for that.
Well, I didn't.
Well, we have – Marquise and I both have the WWE Network, and you pay $10 a month, and you get all the pay-per-views. So,
okay.
So, yes, we did, but it's part of a subscription. Now, one thing that WWE has done is they have sold the streaming rights for the Big Five, as they call – or Big Four – pay-per-views to ESPN Plus and Fox. So it's just like the boxing, you know, it's just like the big boxing fights now and then UFC with ESPN. And I think they're going to take WrestleMania and some of the bigger pay-per-views off the network where you have to buy them through those services. They didn't do it for this one because of everything going on, but I believe that that's going to be what they do. So that's a part of, because I don't know if you remember, Darren, about a year ago, whenever the UFC was here last, Dana White came on my Saturday show and was talking about the deal that he had with ESPN and how that was such a game changer that they're able to get the coverage that they do, and then the big pay-per-views are on the ESPN Plus platform, but it's all in one place. And so I don't know the price, but, yeah, I mean, the main card's going to be on ESPN Plus just like it usually is.
Okay, so it's not going to be – so you're going to get all the prelims, so the normal stuff on ESPN, and then the main card will be on ESPN Plus, something you have to pay for?
Yeah, that's how I understand it. So, okay. I mean, that's what – and I'm looking at the website right now, and it says UFC on ESPN Plus, so.
But do you – if you bought a pay-per-view, are these at reduced – they're not charging – are they charging normal prices?
$64.99.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because technically WrestleMania on a normal pay-per-view would be about $60. So since it's two nights, they split it up into $34 each night. So combined, they still charge full price for it.
I mean, I guess when I said it out loud, the minute I said it, I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? I mean, what are people doing right now? They're at home. I mean, if you're ever going to have a chance to capture some, you know, pick up some new fans, this could be the time. I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is it is very clear that Vince McMahon and Dana White are dug in. Like, this is, you know, they are going to keep trying to provide their entertainment, their sports, their avenue, okay? They're going to continue on until they can. But right now, I mean, he's addressed – this island thing. He's talking about, you know, flying the fighters to this island and quarantining them on this island and actually doing a card wherever this island is. And so the reason I bring this stuff up is we're going to have to figure new things out. Like, I do think, you know, some of the things we've been talking about, masks and stuff like that, it's just going to become a part of our daily routine until we come up with a vaccine, because we all can't sit in our homes for the rest of the calendar year.
Well, and I'm curious, you know, as I look at this, I mean, $65 for this pay-per-view Saturday. And, you know, my initial thought is, you know, I mean, it's a lot of money, but there's nothing going on. You know, would you consider doing it? I mean, you're a UFC fan. I mean, are you thinking about it?
Yeah. Am I thinking about it? Sure. Absolutely.
But see, here's the other part of this. a lot of people for pay-per-views, because you and I have gone to these parties before, you know, you have watch parties and everybody chips in. And so the fee isn't all that much and you bring snacks. You can't do that. You can't do that right now. And so you're asking people to pay $65 in a very you're unsure about the economy right now. So I'm curious to see what the buy rate is going to be for ESPN Plus. But
is that a big number whenever you're asking people to pay $65 for an actual live sporting event that you can't get in? Like, there is no such thing, right? So they own the market. There is no such thing. So you're asking, to a fan of this sport, to someone who does care about the sport and cares about mixed martial arts and follows the UFC, you're asking them to pay $65 for something live. When you think about it in these times, is that a lot of money? They would answer, not really. You know, for something, if you're a diehard sports fan and a UFC fan, $65 to watch something live and fresh and new probably is not that much. You know, depending on your situation,
you got to factor in. I mean, if you're furloughed, I mean, if you're somebody without a job right now, yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think that's definitely a factor. But I am curious to see what the buy rate's going to be. And you can say what you want about Dana White and Vince McMahon. They have figured out ways, at least right now, to power through all of this. And because of that, I believe that's why all the other sports are having the conversations that they're having, because they know, hey, you know what? Vince and Dana, they're still making money. They're still trying to figure this out, and we need to do the same thing. Otherwise, they're going to pass us by.
And we've talked about the importance of football.
The only thing I would add to the conversation – sorry, guys. I guess I have a little delay on my connection right now. Hopefully that will shore it up. But I've been listening to what you've said. I sent you guys an article this morning that gave me a little bit of pause. I think – as long as this is the tough given, right? It is so hard for us to all comprehend what would make a safe environment for all the people involved in these sporting events. To me, that's everything. And that's got to be a given. And I don't know that we're there yet, right? UFC and these guys, they might be pushing the envelope a little bit, which I guess that's their prerogative for sure. I just feel like as long as we can say we've made progress in the testing and the ability to make sure we provide a safe environment, then I don't have any problem with trying to move forward and play games. Because I think you'd have an overwhelming support of the sports fans and of the general population that if they knew that these games...
I think we lost Willie.
Willie
got to reconnect. Yeah, we'll reconnect with him. Look, when you think of Dana White, when Willie says the words pushing the envelope, I mean, that is his middle name. Dana pushing the envelope White. So, I mean, if there's anybody that understands pushing the envelope and doing things outside the box and doing things differently, it's Dana White. He's built an entire career and an empire at the UFC by doing that. Like I said, I don't always agree with it. And I certainly have made that public over the years. But you can't. There's one thing you cannot argue about Dana White, and that's the results, right? The results are you cannot argue that.
Yeah.
It's there. He gets it done.
There's a reason he's been in the position that he's in for as long as he's been in that position.
Yep. All right. We will come back. Scott Burnside from The Athletic. We'll have a conversation with him next on Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday morning. Scott Burnside from The Athletic. We always enjoy our talks with him. He has written something on The Athletic. What would a centralized NHL playoff tournament look like? Scott, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well, staying safe and healthy and halfway sane maybe through this.
I was going to say two S's, safe and insane. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
How about you? Everything good on your end?
Yeah, you know, it's everyone's in the in the same boat in terms of trying to do their part and stay safe, stay healthy. We try and do take out and do it safely and support the local economy. And, you know, it's we're lucky at The Athletic, right? We continue to produce content, and you know, we can all go to work every day, and that's, you know, lots and lots of people can't. So I, no question, have a pretty good perspective on how things are going, and you know, just hoping that we see a light at the end of the tunnel sooner than later. But it certainly is a time unlike any that any of us can remember, and you wonder how it's going to change so many things once we get through this.
Well, let's talk about that. We're doing a daily show 4 hours a day, so it's amazing how much ground we can cover. We basically leave no stones unturned, for sure, during these times. And one of the things that we have talked a lot about is, you know, all the models that are out there. MLB kind of releasing a model. Well, I don't know if they wanted it to, but it got out there that, you know, they're considering basically the spring training sites in the Phoenix area as a possible site. You've heard the NBA bring up Las Vegas. We've seen what Vince McMahon and Dana White are doing with wrestling and the UFC, or mixed martial arts. I've admitted on this show, really starting today and maybe hinting this week, that I'm starting to change my mind. Well, I realize that at first you read these things and it sounds great, and I'm like, but there's so many hoops, it just seems impossible to pull off. But on the other hand, I realize, Scott, we're going to have to do things differently the rest of this calendar year, and possibly the first, you know, 3-4 months of 2021, to get through this and get a vaccine. And so we all just can't sit in our homes until then. And so there's going to have to be, you know, business. There's going to have to be sports. There's going to have to be an economy. And so I'm now coming around to, okay, we're going to have to do things differently. And now these things, while they are going to be difficult to pull off, that's the only way you can pull something off. So I'm coming around to the fact that maybe this is what we're going to see. And reading your article, it seems like you know, you're on board too.
Yeah, well, and I think you're absolutely right. And all these things, you know, it was interesting. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman did an interview on NBC SN or whatever NBC platform. He did the interview and, you know, sort of echoed, you know, of course, I'm sure he read my story, so this is why he got the idea. But basically what he's saying is the same thing that, you know, I tried to put out there. Is it okay? People have a tendency to get, oh, well, you can't do that, or you can't do the baseball thing, or the Vegas NBA model, here's why it doesn't work. And listen, I get that there's lots that, you know, there are so many different things that you have to check off in your boxes if you're going to try and pull something like this off. But listen, what we do know is we have a lot of time. We're talking specifically about hockey here. We have a lot of time, right? You have to have patience. You have to take your cues from the medical officials, whether it's the CDC in the United States or Health Canada in north of the border. But at some point, you are going to have some communities that are going to be ahead of the others. And to your point exactly, you are going to have some communities where it's important for people, once the officials deem it safe to go back to work and whatever those parameters are, okay, well, so what could you do once you reach that stage? And, you know, again, we're only in the first week of April. We do know with the Olympics now postponed for a year that the NHL, its broadcasters and the players have a really significant window in terms of when you might be able to do something. Again, if the health boxes can be ticked off. So why wouldn't you look at these kinds of things? Why wouldn't you look at, okay, is there, you know, the NHL is very clear about this. They would love to play the balance of the regular season and then a traditional playoff grid, 16 teams. That way you're not worried about point percentage, and because you've got teams that are, you know, that haven't played the same number of games. So if you're going to try and have a playoff, if you don't feel you can get your regular season games in, it does create another layer of difficulty in terms of how do you work the playoffs. Do you expand the grid? I talked to a team president not long ago who was, you know, looking at 12 and 12, and so you give four byes to the top four teams based on points percentage, and then you whether you run a 3 of 5 or whatever it is to start with. But if you can run the whole regular season, that's what the NHL would like to do. If you can't, then why not look at these? Okay, could you find 4 places, 4 cities where you have the infrastructure needed to accommodate, let's call it 4 teams to make up your 16-team grid? Could you have hotels and restaurants? Could you do it safely? We're assuming that you'd start this at least and maybe run the entire playoff without fans in the building. What would it look like? What are the broadcast challenges? Are there things that you could do to make the broadcast, you know, more palatable for fans at home? And I think what's different about this, and say you go back to 2004-05 and the lockout that cost the NHL a season, the players and the owners and the fans, I think in general, all want the same thing, right? They want to see what they can see if it can be done safely. And so that's why you have all of these, like, nothing's off the table. Gary Bettman said that yesterday. Nothing's in. No, they haven't, they're not saying for sure we're going to do this, but nothing's off the table. And I think that's, it's healthy, right? I think, why wouldn't you debate and discuss any possible thing? I see some columnists who are writing, oh, they should just cancel the season now. Well, why? Why would you do that? You don't know. No one knows where this virus is going. No one knows where it's going to flatten and at what time. And it is going to be important on so many levels to try and get something approaching normalcy back. And you got to start somewhere. And if you can do it with sport, whether it's baseball or basketball or hockey, then why wouldn't you consider it? And I think that's where we're at right now. Like, we're not saying this is going to happen, but it's also, hey, and I think it's healthy to look at these things. Well, where could it work? Could you work in Nashville? Could you run that there? Maybe. I'm all for it. I can drive there in 4.5 hours. You know, I'm locked in. I'm putting my hand up to cover the Nashville grid right now.
Yeah, so I guess I want to, and I know you don't have the answer to this, but I'm just asking for your opinion. With all that being said, because I do think this is going to be key. The first go-around, it was the NBA, and yes, the Ivy League. I know they canceled their tournament. There were other things going on, but once the NBA said, we're shut down, that's it. Game over. Everything went downhill. Everything happened right after that, okay? That was the first domino, and everything happened after that. So who's going to be the first to come out and say, we are coming back, and this is the date, and we will resume normal activities under this model? Who would you say is the answer? What sport is going to do that, in your opinion?
That's a great question. And I would hope, the whole baseball thing was interesting, and I've seen a lot of people suggest that was merely a trial balloon, you know, that the league, the MLB, wasn't unhappy that it came out, because then you can sort of gauge the response with the public. You know, to me, it's way too premature for anyone to be discussing this, right? I do think, here's what I think. If we get to a point where there is enough of a window, and whether it's mostly in Canada, I talked to somebody from the league, the Midwest and the West, those might be the better options earlier if you're going to do something like this. I do think the NHL is going to be in a very good position, if that window does open, to make the decision fairly quickly. Because, they're working on this. They've got people who are debating it and discussing it. There was a L.A. Friedman from Sportsnet mentioned the University of North Dakota and their facilities there. I covered a World Junior Championship there during the 2004-05 lockout. Sure, I don't know if it works hotel-wise and stuff. I mentioned in my piece Lake Louise, Banff, Jasper, the mountain resort towns in Alberta between Calgary and Edmonton. Those have housed training camps for NHL teams, the Oilers specifically. Team Canada used to train there before international competitions, when they used to run a Canada Cup every 2 or 3 or 3 or 4 years. So you could do that. I think it's possible. I think it's important, if you can go to an NHL building, that allows you a better production quality. Again, all things being equal, if it's safe to go to a place like Winnipeg or a place like Edmonton, then why not do that? And to circle back to your question, I think the NHL, listen, they want very much to do it. The players are on board. You're doing the research and all the work. If medical officials on both sides of the border say, listen, I think if you follow these protocols, then you can do this safely. I think the NHL may be in a position where they're the first ones to get up off the ground. But it's not a race, and it shouldn't be, right? I mean, this whole notion of starting baseball in May, to me that seems ludicrous. We don't know enough now to suggest in a month we could do this or that or this would work. But the NHL has a window that allows them to, and I think this is what most people are thinking, if you are talking about NHL action in July and August, that's still a long ways away. And it still allows you to have some sort of training camp, maybe depending on how lucky you get in terms of how quickly communities are able to rebound from this and people continue to do the right thing, social distancing and all that. You could play regular season games, but if not, you do have a lot of runway for the NHL. And again, it's not a race, but I think the NHL, when that moment happens, will be well positioned to have a really strong plan to put forward and then, you know, see if it works out that way.
Scott Burnside is with us from The Athletic, and we're talking about his article about a centralized NHL playoff and some of the logistics that could go into it if they get the green light from the health experts. Scott, you had an interesting angle from television producers about, because that's really where this would center on. You wouldn't have fans, so how would you do it the best way TV production-wise? Let's start with the timetable. I thought it was interesting. I hadn't really thought about this, but August would be big, especially with the relationship with NBC. Tell us why.
Well, again, because when this first happened, when they first hit the pause and you start to look at when could things happen, and with the Olympics still on the schedule and with NBC broadcasting, really that created a huge issue for the NHL in terms of, what were the possibilities? But once the Olympics got postponed for a year, now you have, as John Shannon, I was talking to him, John, of course, longtime broadcaster, media member, the guy knows the broadcast industry in and out, huge inventory of sports broadcasting that's available now, and with the Olympics being postponed. So now you don't have to worry about that too much. Building availability is really going to be a non-factor given how many shows and concerts and all the stuff that usually fills in the off-season. That's all been canceled. That's all off the books now, and it's not coming back anytime soon, right? So, and I don't even know if the Stones are traveling now or not. Let's say they are. Rolling Stones aren't going to suddenly turn on a dime and say, okay, well, we're going to have these concerts in August, and, basically the NHL can fill up those dates much more quickly than concerts and trade shows and things like that. So you're going to have arenas that are available. You're going to have broadcasters who are hungry for content, and you're going to have fans who are desperate to get back to having something normal in their lives. And the dynamics are completely different. I get that. But when you think about after 9/11 and how important it was, I remember there's a lot of debate, right? Especially with the NFL football, but the NHL was going into its training camp at that time. And there were a lot of people, it's an emotional debate, but it was, I think a lot of people felt it was really important to give people something to hang on to, give them something that recreated a sense of normalcy, gave them something to think about. And, all the economic benefits, if you were able to, hire broadcast people, if you can go to cities where hotels are back up and running and restaurants are back up and running safely, these are not small things. So I think there are a lot of things that point to, again, all things being equal, that August, July and August, or August, September, that you can, that there is a fit there for the NHL, even though it is, would be, in the heart of what would normally be their off season.
Scott, one of the things that made me think as a broadcaster that might potentially get a chance to do some of these games is the feedback you got from the television producers on how you would make this a made-for-TV event with no fans in the stands and how you would overcome the fact that you don't get that roar from the crowd. But you got some really creative answers, I thought. Share one or two with us. I was particularly interested in, you know, what they said could potentially be available to you with camera angles. You could take the netting down, for example.
Yeah, I talked to a producer who's done a lot of events across the pro gamut, but specifically with hockey, the idea that if you took the netting down because you aren't going to have fans there, that allows you different camera angles. One producer I talked to, and you'll know this because with the maybe people don't get that local broadcasters are, you know, you normally you get the first round and then the national take over from the second round on in. But if you open the door, if you expanded that, now you've got maybe three groups. So you've got, you know, you've got Sportsnet, you've got NBC, you've got the locals, and let's say, for instance, you know, in Nashville, now you've got three potential, instead of having three overlapping productions, that if you combined your efforts, that you might be able to create three separate feeds that would give you, and knowing that you could put cameras anywhere you wanted to in the building, more or less, because you don't have fans, you know, you could put them, you know, in 10 feet rows up, or normally where it would be a, they call it a seat kill or something like that, where you can't put a camera because there's seats there or whatever the term is. But you might be able to do all kinds of different things to produce an event, even though there aren't 18,000 people there as there should be and there normally would be, but that gives the fans at home a different look at a playoff experience. You know, nothing's going to replace that, right? Yeah, I mean, you guys know that. Nothing replaces that moment at Bridgestone in a Stanley Cup final game against Pittsburgh or in a Game 7 situation, any of those things, right? Like, no one's trying to pull one over on the fans and say this is going to be just as good. It's not. But you could do something that is different and that maybe creates something that in a very difficult time is nonetheless meaningful. And I think that's, and there are lots of people who are thinking about those kinds of things now. And again, I think that's a healthy thing to be thinking about. Well, if we get a chance to do it, how could we do something different? How could we blow the doors off it and make it something that is, that resonates with fans who are really hungry for this kind of experience after something terrible that we've all endured.
Scott, at what point will the NHL or the other leagues just have to look at all of this and go, unfortunately, this season we're not going to be able to finish, we're not going to be able to crown a Stanley Cup champion, and start focusing on plans for 2021?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's I don't know that there's a drop dead pace. But listen, we know this for sure. Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, was on a podcast with Pierre LeBrun and I 3 weeks ago. And what's very clear, and Donald Fehr, the executive director of the NHLPA, was on the following week, and they're in lockstep on this. Whatever happens between now and the end of the 2019-20 season, if there is a playoff, all those things, we know for sure that the NHL and the players are committed to having 82 games next year. So the 2020-21 season is going to be a complete and whole thing. And again, assuming that this virus doesn't take us into January next year. And we the models suggest that won't happen, but who knows, right? But let's assume that we're able to get back to some sort of sense of normalcy and all things being equal, they will have 82 games next year. That is paramount to the league and the players. So you can still do what we've just been talking about. Start the season later. You wipe out All-Star in South Florida. Sorry about that. Wipe out the bye week, which most teams from a management side don't like particularly. And then go late into June and have your 82 games, crown a champion in 21, and then you're back to a normal routine. But if this virus, if we get, you know, if we're into late May and then into June without a real direction from health officials, with still spiking cases, with hot spots and maybe new hot spots appearing that maybe we didn't anticipate it appearing into June, then I think that's the time when you start to, you say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call it. and we're going to really focus on 2021 and move forward that way. But we do have a lot, I think we do have a lot of runway in terms before we get to that point. And that's why I think it's, you know, it's easy for a columnist to say, well, they should cancel the season now. But I ask, why would you, because you don't know. No one knows. We can only wait and wonder and do our part and hope that that's enough to bring this to a close sooner than later. And I think, you know, I would say if you get into June and we're still having this conversation, we still don't know, then that's probably the time when we're at that point where you close the door on this season.
Yep. Let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope that's not the case. And I'm not a pilot, but having longer runway is a good thing. That's for sure. Scott, thank you so much for the visit. Always good to talk to you. Be safe, and we will certainly talk to you down the road.
Very good. Anytime, guys. You know where to find me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm in the same place.
Neither are we.
I was going to say, you know where to find us, too. Thank you, Scott.
Stay safe, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Scott Burnside from The Athletic. What would a centralized NHL playoff tournament look like? We will come back and discuss more of that on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, we completed the Phil Bredesen region and the David Poile region yesterday. So we have our Sweet 16 in the Nashville Sports Bracket. The best Nashville athletes in the last, or of the last 30 years. Eddie George cruised as the one seed with 83% of the vote over John Jenkins, who joined us on the show yesterday. Mike Fisher, former Predators captain, with 85% of the vote over Kimmo Timonen. So the four seed moves on. That'll set up Mike Fisher and Eddie George in the next round. Wow, that'll be interesting. Kevin Dyson, the first 14 seed to win two games. Kevin Dyson over Blaine Bishop was 64% of the vote. So Dr. Dyson moves on to the second round. Mookie Betts with an easy victory over B-Hop, Brad Hopkins, with 76% of the vote. So that'll set up Mookie Betts and Kevin Dyson in the next round. On to the David Poile region. Pecorine cruised with 89% of the vote, the one seed, over Delaney Walker. That will set up a matchup with Pekka versus Victor Arvidsson, the 13 seed, with 55.5% of the vote over Sonny Gray. So Victor Arvidsson and Pekka Rinne in the next round. Two current teammates facing each other in the next round. Bruce Matthews with 68% of the vote over Drew Maddox. Bruce Matthews, the sixth seed, moves on to face Philip Forsberg. Here was the big upset. The first
what
two
upset.
Seed goes down. Derrick Henry with 47% of the vote, Philip Forsberg with 53%. That'll set up Philip Forsberg and Bruce Matthews in the next round. So there you go. That is our Sweet 16. How about that? Derrick Henry going down in the second round, the first two seed out in our bracket.
Shows the
Swedes.
Yeah.
The Swedes coming through. Arvidsson, and by the way, it's Victor Arvidsson's birthday, so happy birthday to Victor Arvidsson. So an early birthday present by the voters yesterday. And Philip Forsberg took the lead during our show and did not relinquish it. Arvidsson and Sonny Gray, that was one of the more interesting flows of the votes because Arvidsson led at the beginning of our show yesterday. Then Sonny Gray took the lead during our show and carried it into the afternoon. And then I go back and check in the evening, and Victor Arvidsson has swung back ahead. That was a heck of a vote, a heck of a race. So I'll tell you what, that was a big surge by guys who have played together a lot over the years for the Predators, and both hailing from Sweden.
Yeah, it shows you the power of the Preds fans being able to rally Philip Forsberg around Derrick Henry. So great turnout in voting yesterday.
So Kevin Dyson, a 14 seed, and Victor Arvidsson, a 13 seed in the Sweet 16. How about that? And I think those are by far, right, the two, let's see,
yep.
What is the next lowest seed? I don't know. Maybe Javon Kurse with a 5.
In today's voting, the lowest is a 4.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, there's not. I think the next one would be Javon Kurse as a 5 seed. So, yeah, there you go. Those were the two big upsets, Kevin Dyson and Victor and Philip Forsberg. I take that back. Philip Forsberg as the seventh seed. So pretty interesting. So what do we have going on today?
All right. So Steve McNair is up against Javon Kearse, as you just mentioned, and that is a runaway right now for Steve McNair. 90% of the vote going Mac Nine's way to the 10% of Javon Kearse. Roman Josi, Keith Bullock, a 2-3 matchup. Josi with 63% to Bullock's 37% right now. David Price, who's going to join us at 1:30 today, is a one seed. He's actually trailing the 4 seed, Frank Wycheck, 58% to 42%. So David Price needs some work as a one seed going up against a 4. And then this is my matchup of the day, the one that I'm probably watching the closest. Shea Weber, a 2 seed, 58%. Chris Johnson, CJ2K, a 3%. Or a three seed, 42% of the vote. So Shea Weber in the lead right now. I'm not surprised, but I'm going to watch this one all day.
We know how popular Frank Wycheck has been over the years. I think this is the most dangerous matchup any one seed has had so far. Of course, we've moved into the Sweet 16. This is different. I mean, you're taking on people that have already won a couple of rounds here. So this is going to be one to watch, and we're really excited to have David Price come on the show at 1:30. He is the last of the Mohicans, right? He is the last of the Vandy boys left now that Sonny Gray has gone down. This is tough. This is going to be interesting. I think he's the last Vanderbilt guy, period, right? Is there any more? I think they've all been eliminated. Drew Maddox went down last night. Shane Foster is out, Freegee out, all of the basketball players.
Yeah.
So this is it. After this, it's Mookie and a bunch of Titans and Predators, right?
Yep. That is correct. Because you have, it would be Mookie would be the last non-Titan or Pred.
So you've got till 9 o'clock to cast those votes, and we will get 4 more athletes moving on. We'll get down to the Elite Eight. Not today, but we will have 4 more advanced today. So until 9, is it 9 o'clock tonight, right?
Yep.
And then we're going to do the other region tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay, so cast those votes. Go to thegamenashville.com and go to Twitter at 1025thegame. All right, what did you guys make of Scott Burnside, our conversation with him from The Athletic?
Well, there was a lot of things in his article. You could tell he was trying to touch on a lot of things, and there were so many, it was hard to really go down. I think you could take each of about 5 or 6 themes of the article and probably have an entire segment on any of the 6. The one thing that I thought, now you have an overlying theme, right? The big question is, when is the right time to do this? You have some people who are out there. And remember, this, it sort of echoes Adam Schefter's perspective that he had on that SportsCenter moment last week with Scott Van Pelt, where he's kind of saying to himself as he's reporting on this, is this a good look? You know, does this look good to do this? But I think you couple that with our starvation as a public to have some news, right? To have something to entertain us, something to sink our teeth into. So that's the balance that everybody's got to strike. So I don't subscribe to this, it's a bad look. I think if you could, but the whole thing is you've got to make sure
what
you
is
have
a bad
all the
look?
Safety things.
I don't understand. I'm confused on what is a bad
look. I am too.
Because I think there is a danger that is implied by health experts that, hey, you know, you might think you can do all these things, but boy, it could go bad and it really would not look good. And there are some that think it would be self-serving to do this. I don't agree with it.
I also think there's a danger of our economy going in the toilet, and for the next 5 years, we're all sunk at the bottom of the ocean. I mean, there's that, too. I mean, there is everybody's lives, too, that everybody's worried about, too. Like, how are they going to keep a roof over their head, and how are they going to eat?
Well,
there is that.
Do you think that...
So I understand that we need to pay attention. That has been the message on our show from day one. Like, we have to pay attention to what the experts are saying, what the doctors and the CDC. We also have to pay attention that we can't stay in our houses the rest of 2020. So people that say it's irresponsible to think that we're going to stay in our homes for the rest of 2020. This country can't survive, Willie. That's why I'm asking the question. Okay, who could possibly say that?
Let me give you the quote from John Shannon, who was the television producer that Scott Burnside interviewed. And he gave some great points, some great ideas on how you would do this, the logistics of doing it if you did it. But at the end of the article, he says, I don't think this is a sports issue anymore. This is a life issue. If it's not safe for everybody to be there, meaning fans, then it's also not safe for the players to be there. And so another veteran national broadcast executive echoed sort of the same thing. If you can't check all the boxes, starting with keeping everybody healthy and having fans in the building, then you shouldn't do it. If it's safe enough for the players, then it should be safe enough for the fans. If not then it's completely self-serving for the players and the league. So that's an angle that I think you're going to hear some, but I think it will be drowned out by, I think, the desire of the public to see this if you can minimize the risk. And that's the big if.
It's more than just giving us something to watch, Willie. There's a bigger picture. It's about stimulating an economy. It's about trying to get jobs back.
But what about the notion of if it's safe
this
enough
is not
for
about
players,
our viewing pleasure. Let's not make it like this is about just so we can sit at home and pop our feet up and watch live games. There's much bigger picture than that.
Yeah, the president doesn't get involved and have conversations with sports leaders if it doesn't benefit the country. It's not just about watching it. And I think that's why President Trump
had
that conversation.
Just having the games on with no fans is not going to necessarily save the economy. It's going to give you some entertainment. Some businesses.
Really? So the TV contracts are not what drives sports?
No, it absolutely drives sports.
It is absolutely what pays all the bills.
Yeah, but Darren, how many discussions have we talked about all the people that work at these games who rely on events to do that? Those people are not impacted by this at all. It's the big TV companies. The players obviously would benefit and things like that.
Well, let me ask you this question.
It's not a full sweeping thing. Okay. To be able to do that. I go back to the same thing. You guys tell me where you disagree with this. If it's safe enough for the players, it should be safe enough for the fans. That's the premise. Do you think there's some logic to that?
Well, let me pause for just a second. We'll come back to that. All the good that we've talked about, whether it's the Predators, all the really, really good players, organizations, companies that are trying to do the right thing. They're trying to help. They're still paying employees that aren't working. They're still trying to do the right thing. How long do you think they're going to do that, realistically? How long?
I think it's a great point.
I mean, how long do you think businesses are going to be able to keep doing the right thing before the well is dry? Then what?
But you can't be so driven to do that and risk too much, right, of the safety of the players.
No question. I said everything has to be done the right way. But
right.
The whole thing that started this is when you said, was it Adam Schefter or whoever questioned, this is irresponsible to even talk about it. I completely disagree. 100% disagree. So you think we're supposed to sit on our hands? That's why I just said the beginning of this show. I've changed a lot of my thinking. Like, look, we have to think about these things now. It's not going to be normal the rest of the way. The rest of the way is until we come up with a vaccine. Whenever that day is, whether it's this year, next year, whenever. I don't know when. None of us know. But I know this. We can't sit on our hands until then. So we do have to think outside the box. All of us. Whether it's my wife making me a mask today. Yes. She's going to make me a mask today, and when I start going out, when we have to do essential runs somewhere, then I'll wear a mask. That's something I never thought I would ever say in my lifetime. Yeah. Well, guess what? We're in unusual times. We have to think outside the box. And if I have to wear a mask the rest of whenever until we come up with a vaccine for that to be the right thing to do, then that's what I'll do. And that's what everybody else should do. But we can't sit on our hands and just sit here and do nothing. So when someone says it's irresponsible, at first I said, man, that's a lot of hoops, and I don't know how you pull it off. But now I've come around going, well, you know what? We do have to do things differently, and we have to think outside the box. And, you know, it is crazy to think of something like that happening. But it's also crazy to think that we're going to sit in our houses for the next 9 months.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it.
Listen,
or a year.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I just think that you have to be patient and do it right. And Scott went through a lot of the things in his article that I think the league, we're just talking, you know, his is on the NHL, but I think every league is doing this. They want to make sure that every detail is covered so that you can minimize. I don't know that you can eliminate the risk. That's what a lot of these people are saying. Like, if you, once you get, you know, games going and people are on the ice banging or on the court banging back and forth and interacting with each other, playing baseball, sliding into second, plays at the plate, you are going to have some interaction.
Sure.
Right? And it's not, it's going against the social distancing. It's not social distancing. So even if you don't have fans, there is going to be some risk. But is the risk worth it? That's what they have to come to the conclusion of. Can they minimize the risk to a point that they feel like it's worth moving forward here?
All right. One of those models that we talked about yesterday was on the Major League Baseball front. Now, I think we all, as much as we just discussed all of that, I do think saying that May is a possibility, I think that's a bit aggressive. I think Scott Burnside agreed with that. I think it's a bit aggressive to think Major League Baseball could actually pull all of this off that we're talking about in the Phoenix area and start next month. I would find that hard to believe. But, you know, we also need to at least, I'm going to applaud them for at least trying to think of ways to try to get their sport back. I believe it'll be in May.
This will be good because we'll continue with this theme today, but there's other questions that come up too. What is the domino effect if some of the leagues do this as well? I think that's something to think about.
Well, we're going to talk with Jeff Hem to kick off the next hour. He is the play-by-play voice of the Nashville Sounds, and, of course, their spring training, the Rangers, has been, in fact, what the last three teams or they've been associated with all have been out in the Arizona area, right? And when it comes to Rangers, A's, and Brewers, that's the last three, correct?
Right.
They're all out in that area that we're talking about. So we will talk with Jeff Hem to kick off the next hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.